Can we please give the worship team another hand? Just getting all my props ready for the sermon. I really believe that the Lord is doing something amazing here with us tonight, even in the worship. I don't know about KB, but I experienced some freedom that I think we're all longing for. I think there's a cry in our hearts to be more free. And we've experienced it, Olivia and myself, quite a bit, where you've got this longing for either a holiday, you've got this longing for something in your life. And sometimes that happens and you get frustrated because either the Lord wants to push you into something new He's got for you, or it's just you are so overwhelmed and you need to take a step back. That's for you to decide between you and the Lord. And do I need to take a step back and see, Lord, what's happening in front of me? Regroup and carry on. Or is this a place where you're bringing me to frustration and I need to press in and move forward? But either way, we need to depend on the Holy Spirit and really ask Him to move with us. And if He's not moving, I'm not moving. I've heard this once before and I keep saying it to a lot of people. If God moves in a certain direction, I need to move with Him. If I feel something and I'm moving here, but God is moving there, then this is not the right place where I should move right now. It might be the right road, but it's not the right place to move right now. I've got a friend in the Free State. His dad always used to say that even the devil can come past in a nice car. You must be careful not to climb in there because it might be the wrong place for you at the wrong time. Before I preach, I would love to just pray. Thank you, Lord, that You are with us. Father, thank You that You are here now. I pray that as I preach, that You will help me to deliver the message for Your people to hear. And as I preach, I will also listen to what I say and hear Your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So I did not know what Uncle Angus was going to speak about. I did not know what the message is going to be when he comes back. In fact, I was sitting Friday morning still going through this sermon thinking, Lord, wow, where do I go this Sunday evening? Because I've got something in my heart. I've got sort of a direction, but You need to help me. And a friend of mine phoned me, and I'm sitting there on the couch. I prepare a bit different. I don't prepare in a study. I either prepare on the trampoline. I'm just different. That's how I do my things. As long as there's a lot of commotion around me, I can work. If it's too quiet, then I struggle. So anyway, so I make a commotion sometimes. I get myself in areas where I have a commotion, and then I work very well. So I get this phone call, and the guy says to me, listen, I just feel to say that God's going to change your sermon on Sunday morning. I am so happy that he didn't hear right. It happened Saturday, so it was a day before the time. So that was quite cool. But the thing was in my heart already, and what I want to share with you tonight fits in so well with the words we just received and where we're at, because I really felt in my heart to share something with you that will not just encourage you going into the next term, but will encourage you as something you'll remember lifelong, something you can always go back to and think, oh, that happened that Sunday night. This is my situation, and this is what I can do about it. So with any further ado, I want to read to you Luke 22. Just the backdrop of it, it was when Jesus went to the garden on the Mount of Olives with his disciples just before he was taken out to be crucified. What was interesting is in this chapter, Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples just night or two before that. And I always think of, and I've shared this with you guys before, sometimes you get to a Sunday night and you feel, tomorrow, I haven't done my homework, or I haven't studied right? Like I should, maybe I should bring it not to a thing that I should have done. Tomorrow is a big deadline. I've prepared everything, but it is happening tomorrow. So I'm stepping into a place where, whew, I really need help. Is it only me that sometimes lie awake on a Sunday night and think, tomorrow morning I'm getting a hiding from the principal, I haven't done my homework type of feeling, you know? But what I found was very interesting. Jesus knew what was coming, and he spent time with the disciples having a Last Supper, just spending time with people he loved. And throughout this whole passage and this chapter what I read, even when he knew where he was going, he still spent time with the people he loved. It's about the people. Many times where I feel like, oh, there's a big thing coming up in my life, I don't like being alone. I like to spend the last bit with my family. Like, you know, now I feel like I can do this, you know? And I think it was similar for him, spending the last while with his disciples, knowing what he was facing. They didn't know at that stage yet. So, Luke 22, verse 39, all the way to 45. Jesus went out, as usual, so he often did this, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Note that I'm going to speak about that a bit tonight. In verse 41, he withdrew about a stone's throw away beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel of heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So I read this, and something popped up. You know, when you prepare for a sermon or prepare for any work environment, you go through your notes often. So I was reading this passage the whole week, maybe a week and a half already. Saturday morning, this popped up. I don't know if you heard this, but it dropped in my spirit, and I felt to share this with you the way the Lord shared it with me. Something big was missing here. If I have to do this, I did read up about it. This is not a real stone, okay? But this is an illustration I told you guys. So if I have to throw it, duck if it comes your way, it's not going to hurt you. It's not a cricket ball. But if I have to throw it, that's a good one. I was aiming for that step. If I have to throw it that far, I went up and I read about this thing. A stone's throw away is anything between 20 and 100 foot. So if we go worst case scenario, 100 foot is 33.33333 meters, which is a bit further than that. So I want to give you this scenario. Jesus went to his disciples and he says, "Pray so you don't fall into temptation." He walked off about a stone's throw away. And while he was there, he prayed, and, you know, he was in anguish. The Bible says he was going through a rough time while he was praying. And an angel of the Lord came and comforted him. When he came back, the disciples were sleeping. They missed out big time. So I thought to act this out for you. Look at this. So the disciples were there where Jesus said, "Pray you don't fall into temptation." And he was walking. So at nighttime, it's about the sound travels a bit further. I'm here at this step. Okay, cool. Sound travels a bit further at night. So they could probably have heard him pray if they listened well. But the thing that gets me is they missed it. They fell asleep. And while Jesus was praying and in such a hectic state, you know, wanting comfort, wanting help, praying hard. Where's that big guy that was sitting here now? Oh, shucks. Will you be the big guy? I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit on the step. And I'm praying. You're going to be an angel. Is that okay? Will you stand behind me and comfort me? So I'm here. I'm sitting here praying, you know. Lord Jesus, well, he was praying to the Father. And he said, "Father, I cannot do this anymore. Yet not my will. Take this cup away from me, but your will be done. Not my will." And the angel came and comforted him. That's so cool. Thank you. The point I'm trying to bring across is there were other guys sitting over there sleeping while this happened. And the Lord said something to me. He says, Gideon, it's time for my people to wake up. Anger's over Saturday. Pray. Jesus said, pray so you won't be tempted. It's time for my people to wake up. I really believe that the word tonight that the Lord wants to share with you, it's time. It's time. Whatever you're facing, whatever situation you're in, what I've learned from this is I want the Holy Spirit to keep me awake to pray. You see, at that stage, Jesus was with them. The Holy Spirit was not yet in them. We've got an advantage that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. I can ask the Holy Spirit, help me to stay awake. It's time for the church to wake up and see the supernatural around them. I really believe it with my whole heart. If they were awake, they would have seen the angel comfort Jesus. I don't know in your books, but in mine, if I would sit here and Jesus over there and I see an angel comfort him, I would start jumping up and down. You know? Hey, look, angel comforting Jesus. You know? Although he said we must stay here, I want to be there right now. But if I'm asleep, I'm going to miss that and I'm not going to be there. You understand? So I want to say that whatever you are facing currently, whatever we're facing into the new term, into our country, whatever we're facing, I want to say this. Jesus knows. We should be awake. We should pray so that we won't be tempted. But Jesus knows what we're facing. And it sometimes is such a cliche for some people. Jesus knows. You know, it's just like, you know, Jesus knows. But he knows what it feels like to face tough things. He went to the Father and he says, "Not, I don't want this, but your will be done." So if I want to add a title to my sermon tonight, it would be, "You snooze, you lose." Okay, excuse the pun. It's quite cool. But yeah, when I pray, I come closer to Jesus. And that's a very, very good place to be. Because when I'm close to Jesus, I will see angels comforting me. Because that's what they did for Jesus. I'm sure they can do that for me as well. We read that. Angels appearing to people in the New Testament. When I'm close to Jesus, I will hear his voice and I will know I should go on this path, not that path. Walk here, not there. He is the only answer. Just to tell you a little story, I think I've told it to some people before. When I was still in business, there was a thing where my contract was probably going to end. And I was called in to a meeting. As I was driving to this meeting, the meeting was in Pretoria, and I was driving from Centurion to this meeting. I felt the Lord say to me in the car, Gideon, you're going to go into this meeting, going to sign a contract, sign everything. You're coming out with nothing. But I wanted to let you know that I am with you. I'm with you all the way. You walk in there broad shoulders. Don't fight this and walk out broad shoulders. Just receive whatever comes your way. So I'm on the phone with Olivia. That's my wife, for the people that don't know. I'm on the phone with Olivia, and I say, yes, Bokki, this is what I'm experiencing. I call her Bokki, okay. When it's serious, I say Bok. But for those that comes to my house will know, when I want to get her attention, I'm like, Bok, because she hates it. But Bokki is okay. Okay. You're not allowed to call her Bokki. Okay, just saying. So I say, Bokki, listen, this is what's happening. And she says, the Lord just spoke to me as well. And he says, this is what's happening. This is the road I've called you on. You have to walk it. I walked into that meeting. The guy says, this is the paperwork for you to sign. You're losing everything with us. But this is just for you to sign. You cannot fight this. And I signed the forms to say that I've received it. And I gave it back. And he was so surprised. And he says, aren't you going to scream at me? Because this is where people get into hectic fights and they really don't take this well. And I said, no. I was driving here and I felt the Lord speak to me and this is it. And he looked at me and he was, dumbstruck. Is that the right word? Because he couldn't understand that I would be so calm in a situation like this. But I knew that the Lord was with me. He said it to me before the time. Jesus knew what he was facing and what it would feel like. He knows what it will feel like if you're facing things that you think, I cannot bear this. He understands. And I want to share something with you that I heard in the week. It's in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That joy that the Bible is talking, the joy set before him, what is that? It's you, and it's me. We are the joy that was before Jesus. He endured the cross. He went all the way. And we heard this morning, I don't know who was here with the lady that spoke this morning. He endured the cross. It's one of the worst ways to have died in those days. Still is. But he endured it because the joy, you, joy. So I'm not going to call you joy from now on, but you are the joy set before him, and that's why he did it. Isn't that amazing that, for me, I am the joy of Jesus. For him, I am joy. He was willing to endure it for me. So when you're facing something, know that Jesus understands, he's for you, and you are his joy. He endured everything for you. It is very important. So in like a time we're living in now, what we're facing tomorrow, whether it's good or bad, whether the country is going into something, we don't know. But we know God is on the throne, and he knows. Whatever you're facing at work tomorrow or in 2 weeks' time, God knows. Jesus knows exactly what you're facing, and he's the only one we can turn to have comfort and to find our joy. Because we are his joy. Isn't that amazing? So, what do I do in this scenario? And that's where I want to come back to the temptation part. Jesus said, pray so that you won't fall into temptation. So I said, Lord, that's cool. What does that mean? Because that's how I talk when I read the Bible. And came up twice in verse 40 and verse 46. Pray that you don't fall into temptation. So I was wondering about this, and I started reading up about it a bit more. What is this temptation that the Bible speaks about in this passage? And it was so interesting. There's a lot. You can make a whole new sermon from this, but there's about three things that I want to bring under your attention that will help us with moving forward. The one is, Jesus probably knew, or he did know, that they are going to deny him. And I was thinking, pray so you won't be tempted. Part of that temptation is denial. So here we go. I'm in a place where things go tough, and the common sentence is, I pray nothing happens. Now you start going into denial. Whenever I pray, I do pray, but nothing happens. It's not really for me, I'm not going to pray anymore. So the temptation is there to go into denial. Or the other one is that you will walk away. Jesus knew that his disciples will be tempted to walk away. It was a big thing. The guy you think is going to come save the world gets taken off to be crucified. What are they going to do to me? So am I going to walk away? So what happens is sometimes we pray for things. Pray that you don't fall into temptation. Sometimes we pray for things and it doesn't happen. What do we do? We walk away from what we believe God said, and we say, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm walking away. I've prayed, but it's not working. It's not done in my time. So what I do now is I take it in my own hands. My marriage, I'm going to take it into my own hands. I am going to make this work. Failure is coming. Or you go to your boss, and you say, listen, I need that promotion. I want it now. I've been praying for so long, it might not have been the right time. Maybe you should have spoken to your boss, But the timing wasn't right because you wanted it to happen quicker and you take it into your own hands. Relationships. I'm not going to wait for the right guy. I've been praying for so long, or the right girl. Let's go to a nightclub. That's where you pick them up. Other stuff pick you up there as well. Can I just say something? I'm just going to throw it out there. When we studied, there was a guy in the that were doing Yearview Life at that stage. And after After Yearview Life, he went into a nightclub. Okay, I'm just going to say this. He went into a nightclub, and because he opened himself up and went in there and took part of the joys of life, if I want to say that, in their mind, we had to do deliverance on that guy. Demons came and grabbed hold of that oak because he opened himself up, and it wasn't funny. So if you think you want to go to the wrong place and take your things in your own hands, you're opening yourself up for something to bite you that you don't want to be bitten with. Just saying. So the thing that comes up there, very important, is to not walk away. To keep on walking close to Jesus. The last one when I was reading up about temptation or the tempting, pray so you won't be tempted. It's probably the catalyst, deception. Was what Jesus said real? Jesus gave you a promise. It's in the word, it's confirmed. You heard from the Lord. Is it real? You start thinking things like, was Jesus really, really real? You know? Sorry. But deception comes in, and when I start letting deception come into my life, I start doubting. And the problem is when I doubt, disbelief comes. And when I don't believe anymore, then I'm losing hope. And that's something we shouldn't lose. We should always have hope. So in our minds, the enemy can bring deception, and in our minds, our own thoughts, we can deceive ourselves as well. We must make sure that we're constantly in the Word of God. Because the Word is truth. And when I think there's deceiving thoughts coming to my mind, I can counter it with the Word of God. So those are the three things. It's very important to know. Jesus is the answer. He says, pray so you don't fall into temptation. And I want to come together and say, praying together is the third thing I want to go in with my sermon. Praying together is so important. And I'm going to share this with you because I want to share some stories with you because, yeah, sometimes, I don't know about you, I'm going to be vulnerable as a pastor. Sometimes praying is awkward, especially in crowds where other people are watching. That's not supposed to be Christian or not Christian. Like in a mall, you feel you need to pray for someone there, but now are they going to say I'm a hypocrite because I pray in front of people? Or are you being obedient because the Lord said pray for the spirit in this person and he wants to heal him? So one story, yeah, two weekends, three stories. Here we go. First one, about 4 weeks ago, we went on this competition thing in Bloemfontein, and we were part of a team. And what happened was, while we were there, I've got to know, in the CrossFit box, I've got to know this one guy. And he is really not scared to pray in those places where I usually would feel awkward. So we're driving to Bloemfontein. We go to this one little town. I don't even know the name of this town. But it's something like Leeufontein, but it's close to Jan Kemdorp. So we're driving in this town, trying to find a toilet for his kids. Very small town. I met the Oom Piet. Won't go into that story, but that was quite cool. I remember names, sorry. Oom Piet, yeah, anyway, leave him there. He was a very, very nice guy. He lent us his toilet. He's a very nice guy. But anyway, so we're there, and there's a fire station. And my friend's son is 3 years old. Man, and this kid goes crazy when he sees a fire truck. So we see the fire station. Kid goes crazy in the back of the car. As we drive out of the town, he says, now I'm going to stop. So he pulls right in to the fire station just so we can stand there and look at the fire truck. But it's locked down. So as we want to leave, out comes this guy, Adam was his name. I remember his name as well. Adam comes out, and he says, listen, come in. So he invites us in. He doesn't have to do this. He invites us in, let the kids climb on the machines, start the trucks, woo-hoo, everything goes crazy. Let them fit on the clothing, take nice photos, and took about an extra half an hour. So as we walk out, me going first, I'm like, yo, dude, thanks. Wasn't necessarily really appreciated, and I start walking. And I hear this friend of mine behind me say, yo, thank you. Can I pray for you? I'm like, because I know this guy now. Man, one day in the box, his wife says to me, listen, come here. I'm like, yeah. So I come close. She says, this lady is sick. Pray for her. So I'm like, no, you pray for her. You know, and it's amazing. Prayed for her. That afternoon, she didn't have to go to the doctor. She was healed. So God is good, but I was forced out of my comfort zone. So yeah, this guy says, can I pray for you? And he did pray for the guy. The guy didn't object. It wasn't a funny, awkward situation. The guy just said, yeah, I actually feel this and this, just bought a house. Can you pray that it goes through? Really want to start my life over. I'm trusting the Lord for this. Prayed. Guy starts crying, hugs my friend. I'm standing there. Awesome. Get in the car. We drive, okay? Then we get to the competition. So I'm trying to get it over to you that praying is important and that awkward, sometimes awkward places praying is exactly where God wants to use you, okay? So we're at the competition, and while I was, I know I sometimes coach this, the classes, so the one girl has got a problem with the knees. She's struggling to do squats. She cannot do it. We have to find other exercises for her to do. Now she's at the competition. So, man, it's a hype. Everything's pumping. It's a buzz. It's amazing. There's people training. We're standing by a stage where the sound is crazy loud. And he walks up to me and he says, Gideon, come here. I'm like, yeah, what? He says, pray. I'm like, what am I praying for? And he's got this girl with him. He bends down, grabs the knee, because she's going into a competition or a part of the competition now where she has to lunge and squat and do all sorts of stuff, and she can't. So he's like, pray. So I'm standing like this. You know, what are the people thinking? Yes, he's kneeling down. People around us everywhere. Nobody looked at us funny. I don't think they even noticed, but I noticed. But anyway, so we're standing there praying. And when he said, amen, he said to her, how do you feel? She goes, oh, I feel okay. He says, squat. I'm like, oh, man. You know? So she squats once, twice. The third time she came up, she was crying because she was healed. Awkward situation. Yeah. Awkward situation. Out of my comfort zone, God steps in and heals the person. I want to encourage you that those places where you do feel awkward to pray for people, it's probably the places where God's going to show you a miracle. Don't stop. So yeah, so that happened. And then yesterday, Jonathan was there and some of the other guys here too. So you know who I'm talking about. Not allowed to mention his name. So yesterday we're at the CrossFit box and we're praying. It was amazing. It's amazing to see what God is doing. There were about four different churches of Pretoria together in one place, just praying together. Just standing like, you know, we're coming together. We're praying for the country. And here this guy goes and he says, listen, but where we do these things, it's truth. And the Bible says where we have the truth, like what we're doing now, praying, God will manifest with signs and wonders. Who needs healing? So I'm like, oh, here we go again. And he starts praying for people. And it's been so cool to see how the Lord uses him and through me as well. Just saying, the other day, it's so funny. There was a lady, there was something not lekker with her neck. And I said to my wife, oh, man, I'm just going to mention his name now because it's necessary. So she's like, she saw, and I look at Olivia, and I'm like, let's do the Kleinian thing, because that's his name. So grabbed her neck, prayed for her, healed. So I want to say tonight, when Jesus said, pray you don't fall into temptation, I know it might be a twist and a turn from what he said, but it's so important that where we're at in our lives to pray, and not just one together. So I felt to do something tonight. I'll do that in a conclusion. Yeah, so in conclusion. That's cool. If the disciples would have stayed awake they might have seen a miracle. Right? Not might. They would have seen an angel comforting Jesus. First part of the sermon. It's time for us to wake up. Trust the Holy Spirit to keep you awake so that you will pray and not fall into temptation. Second part of the sermon. Know that Jesus knows exactly what you're facing. He endured everything on the cross for the joy set before him, which is you. You are very important to Jesus. Okay, that's very important to know. Then thirdly, pray so you won't fall into those temptations. So I want to challenge you guys. And who am I if I don't have an example or lead by example, right? You are more than welcome to stop me at any time, wherever you see me in town. I'm putting it out there. Whenever you see me, but you know what? I want to be used by the Lord. And I know you as well. So here's it. Whenever you see me and you feel there's something you need praying for, ask right there. Okay. I might only pray 10 seconds because I have to be in a meeting, but 10 seconds is 10 seconds. Or we might pray for 11 minutes or even more. Why do we not 10 minutes? Maybe 11 minutes. You understand? But as I challenge you to do that with me, I want to challenge you to do that with your friends as well. Don't just say the pastor must pray. Your friend next to you can pray for you and you can be healed. And when you're healed with your friend sitting next to you, praying for you because he's obedient, can you imagine what's going to happen the next day at work with a friend there being sick? God just doesn't heal you because for the sake of healing. He does it because he loves you. So here's the challenge. Whenever you need prayer, and you know you've got a friend next to you that's a child of God, say, quickly pray for me. Or on WhatsApp. It's a bit more comfortable. So maybe not on WhatsApp. Maybe in town. I'm not feeling lacquer. Quickly pray for me. And I want to encourage you. When you see me and you need prayer, stop me. I need prayer for this and this and this. Is that cool? Cool. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word first and foremost. That we have your word to hold on to. Thank you for all the promises in your word. Thank you for all the truth in your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will teach us your ways, that we will follow your ways in Jesus' name. I feel to step out in boldness. If there's someone in here that needs prayer for healing, any form of healing, please put up your hand. Anything. Where you think, oh, it's just my pinky, man. It's your pinky. God loves you. He wants to heal your pinky. And then I want to ask the people around them, lay hands on them. I feel we need to pray for healing. Does everybody that put up their hand as someone laying hands on them? I'll take that as a yes. Father, we come and trust together as a congregation that you will come now and heal everybody that put up their hand in Jesus' name. From whatever ailment they have, whatever pain they have or discomfort, we command all sickness to leave in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you won't do it just for the sake of doing it, but for your glory, your name's sake, and to show them you love them. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that's flowing through you right now. I get a sense that I need to pray for ear pain to leave in Jesus' name. Joint pain. You've been experiencing pain in your joints. I pray for it to leave. I also pray for if it's caused because of arthritis. I pray for healing in Jesus' name. There's been people with headaches. I pray for the headaches to go away in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that you are true to your word. And Jesus, your word says, by the stripes on the cross on your body, we are healed. And we receive it now because we're in relationship with you. We receive healing from you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes the healing might not come immediately. Sometimes it happens a day later or an hour later or a week later. But keep trusting the Lord for healing. Is that cool? Amen. Listen, you guys must have a great week. Have fun. Enjoy it. We'll see you guys next Sunday morning. Amen. Cool. Cheers.